This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to your window into the meaningful impact being made across the Catholic Diocese of Hamilton. I'm your host, Marion Green, and I invite you to join me as I talk with inspiring guests and explore how the Catholic Development Fund creates ripple results. Today I'm joined by Joanna Kearney, who is the leader of the Bishop's Pastoral Team based at the Chanel Centre here in Hamilton. Welcome back, Joanna.
Thanks, Marion.
Thanks for joining us again. Now, last time you joined me, we spoke about your role as the leader of the Bishop's Pastoral Team and the joys and challenges that that entails. Like so many of us who work for the church, our roles can sometimes be, they can take us on somewhat of an unexpected journey into unexpected places, and we get to experience things we never may have anticipated. So on that vein, I understand that you've been involved in the making of a film. And we're really keen to learn about that. So without giving too much away, can you tell us about the film and what you've been working on this year?
Absolutely. Well, I suppose it's six short films, which can be seen as one entire film. It depends who the audience is. So it's in support of the Jubilee Year, which we've been celebrating this year, and the NZCBC, the New Zealand Catholic Bishops Conference, recommended as part of the Jubilee year, creating a Places of Pilgrimage resource to highlight our rich Catholic history. So I thought to myself, you know, we could write this down or we could put it on film and possibly share it in a better way, and certainly in a more stimulating way. And that's what I decided to do. And then I joined forces with the Catholic Inquiry Centre, the then director, Rebecca Taylor-Hunt. She's since moved on to the Home of Compassion. But Rebecca had experience as a director and as a camera woman. And I had experience fronting some history programs that I'd done down south in Christchurch. So we set off from the top of the North Island to the bottom of the South Island, exploring Catholic history. We have six dioceses, of course, and so each diocese has about a 10-minute film of the historic sites. But more than the historic sites, the people behind those sites, which is what brings them to life. And, you know, Marion, you know, the Catholic Church gets a lot of negative press for many reasons, but this was an opportunity to actually show the good news, and there is a lot of good news, and sometimes we don't highlight that, and indeed the Lord tells us that we should keep our good deeds to ourselves. But this was an opportunity in the Jubilee year to say, well, this is the history of the Catholic Church here. Figures like Bishop Pompallier, Mother Mary MacKillop, the Venerable Suzanne Aubert, those sorts of names crept up all the way through this whole project. And so that's what we did, and it was an extraordinary opportunity. As you say, you just don't know what experiences the Holy Spirit is going to bring you, what it calls you to do. And standing in front of a camera takes courage.
I'll say.
Doing a podcast takes courage. So you have to step out of your comfort zone and do it.
Mm. Helps you to grow, though, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Mm. And people laugh at you if you don't do a good job.
Oh, well. Let them laugh. I'm not bothered.
Indeed.
We're doing our best. We're doing it with the right intentions.
Well, that's right. You know, it does take courage to talk about faith these days, particularly in a very secular world. And I'm very proud to do so.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So were you, may have already answered this question, but were you employed by the Bishops' Conference to undertake this?
Well, they suggested that all dioceses should do something towards the Pilgrims of Hope theme. And I think most of them thought that that might be writing an inventory of all our historic places and publishing that and sending it to our parishes and saying, you know, go and see these, take yourselves on a pilgrimage. But as I said, I thought to myself, because I did have some experience in this and I have a love of history. So many years ago, I might have mentioned it last time I spoke with you, Marion, I did a series called History in a Minute in Christchurch. And isn't it interesting? So I would stand at places like the Canterbury, Christchurch Cathedral, all historic places in and around Canterbury, and just talk about when they were built and why they were built and the people behind them. And a number of those buildings have since gone in the earthquake.
Of course.
So I had that experience, and as I say, a love of history. And when the bishop said, come on, let's do something for the Jubilee year to celebrate Catholic heritage, I thought I'd call on that experience from many years ago of being in front of a camera. And the Catholic Inquiry Centre, fantastic resource for people, and they were willing to finance it and produce it. So it was just a coming together of experiences at the right time.
And skills, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So did you travel like for a month, or did you break it up a bit?
So we broke it up because we're both full-time employed, Rebecca by the Catholic Inquiry Centre and myself by the Hamilton Diocese. So January we were up north, which is a great time to be up north.
Absolutely.
And then we gradually worked our way down the country. So I think I finished a couple of months ago. So from January to about August, I think we were filming. But those who don't have experience of these sorts of projects may not understand that it's the editing that takes all the time and a heck of a lot of skill. So it's two of the films are ready for publication. My understanding is the Auckland Diocese and the Wellington Diocese are. But the other four are still, I'm still doing voiceovers for those. So we hope to have them all ready before Christmas. But the Holy Spirit needs to be helping us with that, I think.
Needs to get on board.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. And so where will people find them?
So on the Catholic Inquiry Centre website, on New Zealand Catholic Bishops Conference website, and we will push it out my office through our parishes and to our schools too, to our Catholic schools.
Okay, so two are on there now.
Funnily enough, I thought you might ask me that, Marion. So I checked, and I can't see them there yet. They may be waiting until all of them are ready to launch.
Yeah, because you would get kind of hooked in. It'd be like watching a mini-series. You know, you would want to keep watch the next one and the next one.
Indeed. And, you know, some feedback I had from, I think we sent them to one of the people who had spoken to us on the in the films, and she came back to say that her husband is actually an atheist, but he loved it. It's this combined history, and you don't have to be Catholic to enjoy the history of Aotearoa New Zealand and to understand the role of the Catholic Church. And, you know, Bishop Pompalia particularly working with Māori and our early missionaries learning te reo and getting involved with the Kingitanga movement, particularly here in the Waikato.
Mm-hmm.
All these things, and, you know, going to Pompalia House in Russell, everybody likes going there just to see the printing press, but possibly don't understand that it was Bishop Pompalia who brought it over from France, and his Marist brothers who did all the printing, and the first Bibles in Te Reo. So those sorts of connections between Pākehā and Māori in the early settler days, really fascinating, and how the missionaries were a big part of that.
Mm. And, of course, you know, New Zealand's quite a young country, so it's really important that we preserve that history. Otherwise, we'll never build it, you know, and retain it for the future generations.
That's so true. It is so true. And that's true of all histories, isn't it? But ours is a particularly young history. And it's funny because I've come off 7 years living in the UK, and I took my oldest son to Southern Star Abbey in the Central Hawke's Bay to shoot there. And he's just come off tours of these extraordinary Gothic cathedrals and monasteries in Europe. So he was expecting that. And when we arrived to these very basic prefabs, really, of the monastery, he was quite taken aback, but soon realised, actually, it's not about the buildings. When he met the monks, and he saw their such a humble, simple way of life, and, of course, the extraordinary rural setting they're in. So we don't have necessarily the beauty of the intricacy. Some of our cathedrals do, of course, but the intricacy and the real deep history of Europe. But what we do have is very New Zealand and very beautiful in its own right.
Yeah, someone told me recently that because I feel that, as you said, having been to Europe and the UK, and you come back and you see buildings being pulled down, and it really kind of upsets me. And someone said, well, it's because they're not strong enough, and they can be pulled down, you know. Whereas if you look at the churches in the UK or in Europe, they're solid stone.
Indeed.
And the stonemasons worked to craft them.
They did, you're right. You know, that takes me back. I did work at Christ College down in Christchurch, and their beautiful buildings, Gothic largely, were all earthquake strengthened. So on the outside they were gorgeous, but on the inside you went inside and there were steel girders right up the walls. So they, for the most part, survived Christchurch earthquake. It was those buildings made of brick that weren't, strengthened in that way that came tumbling down.
It's sad, isn't
really,
it?
Really, really sad. Particularly, sorry, Marion, I keep on interrupting, particularly that gorgeous cathedral in Christchurch, the Catholic Cathedral of the Sacred Heart. I remember when I lived in Christchurch, that was an outstanding beauty, and that one didn't survive, so we lost a lot in Christchurch.
Yeah, so you just wonder about the building techniques that we used, you know. Although, having driven through Christchurch in a taxi not that long after the earthquakes, and the taxi driver saying to me, look, that house is still standing and the two either side have come down. Just so random.
Really random. But, you know, what's interesting, and again going back to Christ College, they had this building. Most of these old buildings were designed by English people coming over to live in New Zealand. Probably didn't know we were earthquake prone. One of the library, gorgeous library at Christ College, had a very steep roof to handle tons of snow. Thought that it was going to be a lot of snow. Of course, it didn't snow. When it does, it doesn't snow much. So they often were designed based on the Northern Hemisphere weather and, you know, sort of not earthquake zones. So they didn't know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so the filming took place, you said, Russell?
Yep.
And all the way down?
Yeah, so we total a point. I mean, I couldn't go to everything. I can't be in 10 places. So sometimes I just said to Rebecca, you go and shoot and I will do a voiceover because it's not about me. I don't need to be in every single shot. So she went to Totara Point, which of course is in the Hokianga where Bishop Pompalia celebrated his first mass. From Hokianga right down south to Dunedin, yeah.
Fantastic. And it's taken you, what did you say, 8 months or so to...
Yes, and now being edited, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. So you don't have an anticipated release date, maybe before Christmas?
We hope before Christmas, yeah.
That's pretty ambitious, considering the time of year.
Yeah, indeed. It is with an independent filmmaker at the moment being edited. It just depends on his workload.
And the target audience is, you're touching on your person there whose husband is an atheist.
Well, this is
so
it.
Anybody. Literally.
If you're interested in history, particularly the history of New Zealand, if you're Catholic, of course, if you're interested in the Catholic faith and you want to understand our contribution to this country, and even if you've always had a negative thought about the Catholic faith, here's an opportunity to balance your opinions and see what we did in a positive way and what we continue to do in a positive way.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the news of the day is always the negative. It tends to focus on the negative, doesn't it?
Indeed.
Yeah. So this is the Ripple Results, your inside look at the Hamilton Catholic Development Fund and how it turns investment into impact. Today I'm joined by Joanna Kearney, who's kindly sharing with us her experience of making a film to celebrate the Jubilee year of the Church. So on the bits of the film that you were personally involved in, what's been the most exciting or challenging aspect of developing this particular film, and how did you overcome those hurdles?
Well, when I was pitching it, of course, you always have to pitch these films, as you would know, and pitching this podcast too. You have to pitch and you have to get funding. You have to prove that actually you know what you're doing and it's actually a viable project and it will attract an audience. So I looked at our beautiful country and I looked at the waterways and I thought about tapping into the Māori kaupapa that links water to identity and belonging, and along with the central purifying place of water in our Catholic faith. So we decided to link the diocese and link all the historic sites by drone footage of our waterways. So we'd be in the car going from one site, filming site, to the next, and we'd spot a waterway and we'd jump out of the car. And Rebecca, God love her, very new to drones. She just went out and bought a drone for the project. So we sent this thing off over these open waterways, you know, seas and rivers and lakes, praying that it would come back and provide this wonderful footage. It's revolutionised filmmaking, these drones. So I haven't actually seen the end product yet, but that was wonderful to have that connection. It's our waterways, and indeed for our missionaries. If they weren't getting about on unsealed roads and, you know, tracks, they were using our waterways.
On horseback.
Indeed. So we thought we'd capture that aspect of our beautiful island country. So that was a real challenge, and we hope it works out.
That's very clever.
Thank you.
Using today's technology.
Yes, indeed.
As your friend. Yes, it's amazing what you can get. You can capture with those drones when they're used for the right purpose. Do you have a specific story at all along the journey that you might like the listeners to hear about? Perhaps a funny or an unexpected moment?
Well, it's always interesting asking for filming permission. And some places we would go to weren't aware of the historic importance of their sites. I mean, they might have been historic sort of 100 years ago, and now they've been turned into a hotel or something like that. So we usually had really positive responses. I single out the Polynesian Spa in Rotorua. They just opened their gates to us, literally, and gave us free swims in the spa. I wanted to get in the spa. I was in my togs, so I said to Rebecca to just shoot me from the neck up.
Fair enough.
Because, good reason for it, because in 1878, Father, now you're Irish, Marion, you'll be able to help me with the pronunciation, is it Marnie or Mahoney? M-A-H-O-N-E-Y. I think it might be Marnie. So he was a Catholic priest in Tauranga, and he was disabled with arthritis. So the local people carried him to Rotorua. Of course, Polynesian Spa wasn't built at that time, but the hot springs were there.
Mm-hmm.
And he bathed, and the story goes that it did him so well, he bathed in the acidic waters, that he was able to walk back to Tauranga.
You're kidding.
And this is the other thing about these people. I mean, you know, people like these early missionaries, well, the early missionaries, but certainly the nuns who came over from France, and Mary MacKillop, who brought her brown joeys, her Josephites over from Australia. You know, they came to the Wild West, essentially. So they leave their homes behind and they do it for God, and then they have to live in very primitive conditions, and they have to walk or go on horseback mile after mile. We don't know how lucky we are, do we? So that's another reason to watch these films, is to just take ourselves back to the conditions that these people worked in, and the fervour with which they desired to spread the word of God, because they certainly didn't do it in comfort. So the Polynesian Spa has built its buildings over what they now call the Priest's Bath after Father Marnie. And then, so that's the acidic bath, but they also have the Rachel Spring, which is where Mother Mary MacKillop used to bathe, because she too suffered from a lot of rheumatism. But the Rachel Spring is alkaline, so I soaked in that because historically it was said that those who bathe in the Rachel Spring are blessed with ageless beauty.
Oh, wow.
Now, you can be the judge of that, Marion. Has it changed me for the better?
Oh, I think you look great.
Oh, thank you.
I think I might have to head down there myself.
Indeed. So that's why I wanted to get in into these baths. But some great stories like that. Poor Mother Mary, though. I mean, the other thing was the medical advice at the time. Her doctor said, if it wasn't actually working that well, he said, well, you need to get into a hotter spring, and a hotter spring, and a hotter spring, and she eventually had a stroke. Now, we're not sure if it was due to that, but it was very soon after being in quite a hot spring that she suffered a stroke and actually went back to Australia. So the medical advice alongside the bathing in the springs could have been very interesting. But that was a highlight for me. Good on the Polynesian Spa for just saying, yep. And they actually have photos of their history, and they very much understand the Catholic background to that. So they were very welcoming.
Oh, how wonderful. Mm. Yeah. Rotorua seems to be geographically becoming quite a hub for our church. You know, it's sort
Indeed.
Of got that central point for people to travel to for various events.
And then, of course, you've got the Tyburn Monastery there. So that was another place where we went. That countryside around there is just drop-dead gorgeous, isn't it? And the nuns who work there and work under the St. Benedict rule of hospitality. So anybody's looking for a retreat, beautiful place to go there in the hills around Rotorua.
Mm, it certainly is. Did you go to Whakarerorera?
No, we didn't this time. Mm. No.
So I just discovered that that's where Monsignor Trevor was raised.
Fascinating, isn't it? You know, we couldn't go everywhere, Marion. You know, we researched and we had to break it down, otherwise it was going to be 3-4 hours long. But, you know, I think if you ask me what's the next project, perhaps if it's well received, we may dig a bit deeper and go to these places.
Mm. And did you get to interview some people along the way, or was it mainly the buildings?
Mainly me. It was mainly me.
It's all about me.
No, honestly, anywhere we went, we always looked for local authorities, often iwi. We wanted iwi to speak for themselves. So any places that had a rich Catholic / iwi heritage, we always spoke to iwi and asked them to speak to camera if they were happy to do that. We have particularly articulate clergy in places around the country who are very happy to recite the history of their churches and cathedrals, even though they move on regularly. I think of Father Vaughan down in Dunedin, the cathedral, St. Joseph's Cathedral there, clearly loved his history and took us on what amounted to a two-hour tour of the place. We couldn't fit it all in, but he knew it in intricate detail. Father Chris Denham, who's since moved on from the Auckland Cathedral, amazing history and amazing insights. So where I could, I just stood and listened, and that was very often the case.
Mm. Very interesting people, and you know, but you must pass the history on. You know, even in life, we talked about the other day, some people and I, about how our grannies told stories to our mothers and our mothers tell those stories to us. And, you know, I feel like my generation and yours would be a little remiss because we are so busy. Do we listen to the stories? Because I'm thinking now, what am I going to tell my children when they ask these questions? Because we rely so heavily on the generation before us who know the stories and remember the history.
You know, I was just having this conversation with, I think, my brother. And the same with the faith. You know, I remember one of seven children, and my dad had us on our knees reciting prayers every night. And so while I got my children to recite prayers, it wasn't as formal and as sort of daily as that. So it sort of waters down through generations too, doesn't it? And we're so distracted, aren't we? As you said, busy. I worry about focus with the technological age and the digital age. We think we've got to get the information over in sound bites as opposed to sitting down. But this is where podcasts are great because people are commuting and they do have downtime when they will listen to but material that's a bit longer. So I'm hoping that...
Oh, I've got no doubt this podcast is going to be, you know, multiple times when people will listen to it and it'll be maybe a focus for the evening instead of television.
Absolutely, Mary.
We live in hope. Hopes are high, expectations low. So any plans to be involved in any other films? Like you just talked about maybe expanding it a little bit more and getting some historical characters on there to talk about, or even the younger generations whose grandparents maybe were
Indeed.
Involved.
So we'll see where this project lands. We'll see what sort of feedback we get. This year lent itself to doing a special project because it was a jubilee year. It comes around every 25 years. It used to be every 50 years, didn't it? But now it's every 25 years. Who knows? And as you were saying again, we just don't know in any given year. Working for the diocese, we do make plans, but we listen to the Holy Spirit and we see opportunities and we try to make them work for us. So I'm not sure, younger generation, sort of quiet revival amongst Gen Z, it'd be lovely to tap into that.
Yeah, there seems to be a common theme. When you work for the diocese, you are hired to do a job, and then you have another hat, another hat, another hat, and sometimes your original hat takes you in a direction that you just weren't expecting.
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's often a very good thing. But we always evolve, and sometimes someone just mentions something and you think, that's a great idea. Let's do that.
Really.
Because we really do want to get the faith out there, and we want people to see how the things that they do impact what we do, and then the ripples spread.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's where the CDF comes in, really, because we want to be able to keep getting funding, people invest with us, and then we can, you know, distribute funds to the bishop, which employs your team, and you go out and do this great
Indeed.
Work around the diocese. Okay, well, it's been lovely having you back with us, Joanna. Thank you for giving the listeners such a great insight into that special journey that your role took you on, a role that the CDF is delighted to support. And I wish you well for 2026, which will no doubt be full of more adventures for you and your team.
Thank
Keep
you,
up the great work.
Lovely. Thank you, Mary.
And go well.
Lovely. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today on Ripple Results. Catch us next time when I will be talking with another inspirational guest about their role and aspirations made possible by the Catholic Development Fund. You can find us wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, and if you wish to contact us, you can go to www.cdfhamilton.org.nz or give us a call on 07 85 66 989.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.